thanks for being here today. And, I was thinking through it this week, and the question came to my mind. I want to ask you, I want to take a poll real quick. Who likes to be told that the way you do things is the wrong way? Anybody? No hands. What a shock. None of us like that. Hey, yesterday I had the privilege of marrying a beautiful young couple. And when I do a wedding ceremony, I always include a bit in the challenge to them about leaving the culture and family that they were raised in, joining together and creating a new, unique culture and family and things. Because from what I've heard, married couples, especially young married couples, have a bit of a challenge in an area. I've heard about this. I haven't experienced it. But when they first get married, a lot of times, and I'm going to give it to both sides, so don't get on to me for talking about the wife first. But the wife will say to the husband, "That's not how my dad did it." Yeah? Or, "Hey, do you think we should call my dad for some advice?" Any men? Can you relate to that? You've been there? Again, no hands. Come on. Women, you're slacking. Works the other way, too. Maybe the wife, and it could be the husband doing this, too, nowadays, cooks a meal or whatever, and the husband takes a bite and says, that's not how mom made it. Right? Yeah, now you're getting it, right? Right? You know, we have those tensions, and I call them in-law tensions, because none of us really want to hear that's the way mom did it or dad did it in relation to how we are doing things. If we're honest, that in-law tension is something that most of us have felt. And the reason we feel it is we are confident that we know how to do things. And we don't really need that new advice because when we're really young, we know everything. As we get older, we know less and less. But, you know, we can take that whole situation outside of the in-laws context. And in most relationships, most areas of life, you and I, most of us, do not like to be told that the way we do something is the wrong way to do it. And for those that are really stubborn, Pastor Justin said I was going to talk to the stubborn people, then no matter how good the advice is, we are not going to take it on board because it came from somewhere else, right? You're all looking at me with blank stares. I know you do this, okay? I know you do because you're just like me. If that's you today, you've come to the right place. And if that's not you today, if you're the one that's actually usually giving that advice, in-law alert, okay? Be careful, in-laws, not to overstep and things like that. If you're the one that's giving the advice, you're in the right place too, because we're going to look at a passage today, continuing in our series, When Faith and Family Collide, where Moses and Jethro, that's why I said Joseph, because of Jethro, you get it? Where they had this same little thing going on, okay? And we're going to see how they dealt with it. A bit of backstory, in case you are not familiar. Moses was the guy who led Israel out of Egypt. They had been in slavery for 400 years, and he took two million plus people and led them out. And he has been through a ton. He started out by having to confront Pharaoh. He was the middleman between God and Pharaoh. You know, I've heard the middle management prayer is middle management doesn't have a prayer. And that would have been Moses, is that he was God's middleman there confronting Pharaoh repeatedly, on and on again, until finally he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then he had to deal with complaining people because it didn't take them too long after they were out of Egypt to say, "Oh, we're tired. Oh, we're hungry. Oh, we're thirsty. Oh, you're doing a horrible job, Moses. We wish we were slaves again." That's what they were saying to him. Certainly Moses would have been feeling tired and overwhelmed. I reckon Moses would have been a prime candidate for what we call today burnout. And I would suggest to you that it was only by the supernatural empowering of the Spirit of God that he was able to cope. So that's where Moses was. That's where he had gotten into this cycle now of every day he was just getting things done. There's more people, more problems, more conflict, more complaints. And that was his life over and over and over again every day. And then, as you would have learned the last couple of weeks, Jethro, his father-in-law, comes to visit and brings his family back to him to further complicate Moses' life. Now we see faith and family colliding. First week, we talked about this question. We said, how do we manage the tension of busy schedules, demands at work, kids, church, family, and friends' expectations? Remember that question? We worked through that, and here's where we landed. We landed that every day of our lives, we have the opportunity to disappoint people, so we need to spread the disappointment around, right? You remember that? That doesn't mean that you want to be in the business of spreading disappointment. It means you're going to, so make sure you're not disappointing the same people all the time. And then we looked at last week, Pastor Justin talked about being a person of peace, spreading peace. And we looked at, it's not so much of us witnessing to people, but people witnessing our lives, living our lives in such a way that when we use our words, it's going to make sense. And that it's not just us trying to start arguments at the family dinner tables and all of those types of things. So if you miss those messages, then go to our website, go to our YouTube channel, download the app. While you're there, hit subscribe, because then you'll get updated about all this stuff. And all the stuff I'm talking about, you'll be saying, yeah, we did that through the week already, so you don't have to do this bit in your message. So Moses' father-in-law, he's brought the family back, and now he's caught up with Moses a little bit. They've had a little bit of reconnection time, and now Moses is going back to work. We're going to see it says the next day. This is a great opportunity for Moses. He gets to show his father-in-law how great a job he's doing. It's like, take your father-in-law to work day, all right? So Exodus chapter 18 and verse 13 says, the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Now Jethro's there, he's watching this. It says, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening? Now, Moses wants to give him an answer, okay? Because you see that? What are you really accomplishing? Moses replied, because the people come to me to get a ruling from God. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them his instructions. Didn't you see what was going on, Jethro? That's my job. I'm doing a great job. They're coming to me, and I've got to say yes, because I'm the man, Jethro. I'm the one that has to get all this done. And then Jethro responds to Moses' response and says, this is not good. Man, anybody got a father-in-law like that? All right. You're afraid to show your hands, aren't you? Your wife's sitting right beside you. So Jethro's sitting off to the side. He's watching. And this is what Jethro sees. I want you to process this for a minute. This is really what he's seeing. He's seeing people who have problems with each other bring them to Moses. And these people were complainers. Don't forget that. They complained against God regularly, telling God how awful their life was. So you can imagine, if they've got problems with God, they've got major problems with each other. So they were good at complaining. And he sees Moses sitting there all day long, giving ruling after ruling after judgment, and the queue just keeps growing. It just keeps growing. He sees Moses making some wise decisions and helping a lot of people. That's what Jethro would have seen. Now, what do you think Moses would have expected to hear at that point? At the end of the day, Jethro's talking to him. What do you think he wants to hear? Maybe some compassion. Like, wow, must be hard to hear about all these problems and conflicts and everything and the complaining, and you have to make those decisions. Wow, that must be really tough. Or how about, good job, mate. Hey, when Jim and Bob were having a blue because Jim accidentally killed Bob's cow, that was amazing because you told Jim to put the cow in the smoker and cook it for Bob. Yeah, that was awesome. And when they walked away, I heard Bob say, hey, Jim, why don't you come over? We're going to have a street party. Great outcome, Moses. Well done. Or Moses, hey, when Bill and Sally were having that little marriage dispute, and who would have ever thought that the solution was just to get two toilet paper holders? And one of them, it comes out under, And the other one, it comes out the right way. Brilliant, Moses. Good job, son. That's what you would have expected if you were Moses. What did he actually hear? What are you actually accomplishing here, Moses? This is not good. Jethro's approach was honest confrontation. Something needed to be said. Moses would have been completely caught off guard. He was working hard. He didn't ask for this job. God had called him to it, and by all standards that we can measure, he was a raging success. He was a successful leader. He was doing a fantastic job. But Jethro had a much different perspective. See, remember, Moses had sent his family back to Jethro to let Jethro take care of the family. And from all we can tell, he apparently hadn't even been in touch, really, with Jethro and his wife and his kids during all this time. And they're out of Egypt now, the danger, which is probably why he had sent them back to start with. And Moses hadn't sent for his wife and kids. So Jethro, on that day, saw what was going on, and the penny dropped for Jethro. He said, this is why I'm taking care of the kids, because Moses is consumed with his work. Now, Moses was so covered up and so desperately just trying to keep his head above water, he had not even realized what he was doing, what was going on in that situation. So Jethro says, this is not good, son. He said, you're wearing yourself out. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle by yourself. While it may not have been easy to hear, something needed to be said. Now, I'm also going to suggest, if you're a Jethro type out there, Jethro could have handled this just a little bit better, okay? Amen. He really could have. He said the right things. He said what needed to be said, but he could have started with, well done, Moses. Some of those things were really tricky, and you did a fantastic job. The people are really being blessed by having you to adjudicate their things and be the representation before God for them. God is using you in a mighty way here, son. But have you thought about, see the difference there? So if you're Jethro type, take some notes there. But whether or not Jethro's approach was the best, something had to be said because Moses was frustrating the people. There were unresolved issues. People waited in the queue all day long and never got to hear the problem. So imagine this. You're already having a blue with your neighbor and you're waiting in line in the hot sun and the line's not moving fast enough. And at the end of the day, you still didn't get it resolved. Now you're extra grumpy. You're even more grumpy and irritated than you were before. Your blue with your friend might have gotten resolved because now you're just upset about the line and the queue and the bureaucratic system, right? He was also exhausting himself. Jethro would have said, hey, I can see you are exhausted. You are worn out. And you got nothing left for the family. That's what Jethro was getting at here. See, he had an outside perspective. He brought fresh eyes into the situation. He was bold and he was honest. You know, we're told we should always tell the truth. And Jesus says to speak the truth in love, right? And while Jethro's approach may have been a little bit harsh, can I suggest to you that Jethro was speaking the truth in love? He could have done it a little more gently, but he truly loved Moses and he loved the kids and he loved his daughter. He's speaking the truth because out of a heart of concern and a care for them. So with all that on the table, Jethro has already said, hey, Moses, you're actually doing a pretty terrible job. Then he said this. Now listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice. Remember, he's the father-in-law. Now, Moses is not 20 years old, okay? Moses is 80-ish years old, over 80 years old. That's going to put Jethro at about 100, so I can say, Sonny, let me tell you some things here. I need to give you some advice. And Moses would have been on his cane as well. Anyway, the picture is just crazy. The father-in-law giving the 80-year-old son-in-law advice here. Jethro here gave him an uninvited but helpful consultation. I'm going to give you some advice, son. Why could Jethro do this? Because he had a relationship with Moses. He could speak into Moses' life because of the relationship that had already been built. Moses was his son-in-law, so he's got a positional relationship there. But I would suggest to you that the 40 years out of the desert, taking care of the sheep and being married to Zipporah, Jethro's daughter, had given them lots of times to have deep and meaningful conversations, to get to know each other, and they had truly had an intimate relationship. And into that space, Jethro was able to speak to his son-in-law. Now, next week, we're going to unpack the advice that Jethro gave. We're not going to talk about that this week, but in a nutshell, he told Moses, Moses, you need to recruit some godly, capable people and get some help. That was the bottom line. And then you're going to have time to be a husband and father as well. So with all of this, honest confrontation and then some helpful consultation, Moses has been hit really hard. He's confronted honestly about what's going on. And Moses didn't even know there was a problem before this. It would have hit him like a ton of bricks. I want you to put yourself in Moses' sandals here for just a moment. You are God's chosen leader. You are that person that he chose from everybody else in the whole world to lead his people out of slavery. You're in charge, and you've done a really good job. Now your father-in-law comes in. He hasn't done the hard yards of leading the people out of Egypt. He hasn't seen all the difficulties you've gone through in the desert already with them. He hasn't seen any of this, and he says, hey, I think I can tell you how to do your job better than you're doing it. Amen. Anybody like to hear that? I think if I was Moses, I'm not sure I would have been ready to take advice from Jethro. Because I would have felt, remember, I'm almost burned out already if I'm Moses. And now you're telling me I'm doing a poor job on top of it? You're criticizing the job I'm doing? I'd be thinking, who do you think you are? And you don't know these people. You don't know what I'm dealing with, Jethro. You don't have the history. I think I would have been defensive, and then I probably would have looked over my shoulder to see where Zipporah was, because I'm sure he could hear her voice saying, my dad would do it different, right? If I'm Moses, I just really think I'm already tired, I'm already worn out, I'm already burnt out, and I'm going to be in the corner just sitting there rocking at this point, because it's like, where are you, God? Moses didn't respond like I would have, and I would suggest that most of us would have. Moses said this, or it says this about Moses. Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Moses responded with humility. He gave what Jethro told him, humble consideration. Moses is the leader, but he's willing to take advice from others. That is amazing. That's an amazing quality of a leader. It says, Moses listened. Look at that verse again. It says, Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice. A humble posture is one that listens more than it talks. A humble posture takes it on board. And listening isn't just letting things go over your ears. Listening is actually taking it on board and giving it due consideration, processing it. Not the natural response that we would have. The natural response we would have and that Moses could have had is when Jethro's giving advice, he says, I got some advice to give you. Moses could start mounting his defense, right? When people talk to you and maybe they're giving you some criticism, maybe helpful consultation, do you do that? Do you just start mounting your defense in your mind? I can't wait till you shut your lips so I can tell you what the real deal is. Anybody? Yes, all of us are like that at some level. Moses listened. But then it also says Moses followed his suggestions. He followed. He didn't just hear the words. He put it into action. He didn't take the position of having all the answers. He didn't say, oh, well, that's nice, Jethro, but nah, I'm not going to do that. He actually put it into practice. Moses was a learner as well as a leader. And because Jethro was willing to come to Moses with an honest confrontation and to offer a helpful consultation, and because Moses received it with humble consideration, everybody won in the end. it was a much better situation at the end there. So you might be sitting there thinking, so what? So what? That's Moses, and they're in the desert and all that, and we're not judges and everything about people's disputes and things. What's this got to do with my life? Well, let's go back to the question we started the series with. How can this help manage the tension of busy schedules, demands at work, kids, church, family, and friends' expectations? How are we going to manage that? Well, we're going to manage it by receiving honest confrontations. Honest confrontations. Who is in your life that can be honest with you? Who is in your life that can say the hard things to you? Do you have someone? A really close friend, a coach, a mentor, someone like that? And this, can I suggest to you, you know your own relationship with your spouse if you're married? This may or may not be your spouse. Okay? You need to have a really, really strong relationship happening here if this is going to be your spouse. Who is there that can speak to that? And you need to invite people into that space. If you don't have someone, knowing that it's going to be for your growth and your good to let someone into that. And if you think maybe that you are that person in someone else's life, can I suggest to you that if someone else has let you into that, then make that role, the honest confrontation role, make it a helpful consultation. Don't be harsh. Don't be critical and condemning. Be helpful with it. Do it from a place of relationship first. Do it because you've already invested in that person's life and they know you, love you, trust you because you've been there for them already. Be affirming to the good you see in them. Remind them of how valuable they are and all the good things you see in their lives. And then maybe ask permission even to say, hey, I've seen something in your life. Do you mind if I tell you what I'm seeing? All the good about you is great, but I think there's something you might not know about yourself. And then if you're on the receiving end, give it some humble consideration. Be a listener. Listen more than you talk. Take it on board. I like to say it like this, let your critics be your coaches. So this applies not only to those people that are intimately speaking truth to you, but anybody. Because even if somebody's just being a critic and they're taking shots at you, if there's something small in that you can take away from it, you know what that's going to do? That's going to help you get better. So don't just get mad when you get criticized. Say, hey, okay, yeah, they're kind of silly. I don't agree with them, but is there anything there I can take away? Listen. And then follow, put what you learn into action. Don't just get the knowledge and say, yeah, that's good. You know how many books I've read, how many workshops I've attended, how many YouTube videos I've seen that tell me how I can do X, Y, Z better? You know what that does? It makes me say, yeah. And then Justin comes in my office. Or NK, or Deanna. And I forget about what I did. So I listened, but I didn't follow through just because I was probably too busy doing all the things that people wanted to do. And then finally, if you listen, you follow, you're going to grow. That's going to be the natural result. Look at that as your goal, is to grow through that moment. So friends, faith and family are going to collide. We know that. We talked about managing that tension, and hopefully the collision becomes a fender bender. How do we manage these things? I'm going to suggest to you we need to be humble. Be humble. You start with that posture of humility and listen to those who are being honest and follow their helpful advice. It's not deep, is it? It's pretty simple. But it's pretty difficult, right? Sounds simple and the words are simple, but apply that to your life. It's going to be a challenge. But you're going to grow as a result. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for Jethro, the father-in-law who was willing to give an honest confrontation. Lord, we don't like it when people tell us we're doing something wrong, the wrong way. But Lord, thank you for those people. And Lord, I pray that you would put people in all of our lives that can play that role and that they could give some helpful advice. Lord, I pray that as if we have that role in people's lives, you would help us to do it in a constructive way. And Lord, help us all to be humble. Lord, none of us have arrived, and we would all say that. But Lord, sometimes we behave as if we had. Lord, give us a posture of humility that listens to honest people who want to help us and help us grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.